Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Silsha.
Thank you for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. We'll be talking with Kathy Cooper about food things in just a few minutes. Maybe you heard the story about the woman in California, the grandma of modest means, who was moving into an apartment and really had no furniture, and so she accepted the offer of a free couch. When she got the couch home, she discovered there was $36,000 stashed away inside the couch, which she gave back to the family. When asked why she didn't just keep the money, she said, "God has been kind to me and my children. They're all alive and well. I have three beautiful grandchildren. So what can I ever ask from God?" The grateful family did give her a reward of a little bit more than $2,000, and so she was able to buy a brand new refrigerator, and of course, she got to keep the couch. We'll be back with Kathy Cooper after this on Connecting the Diocese. The show with Kathy Cooper coming up is not a holiday cooking show. It's kind of a how to save money on food costs and penny pinching and all kinds of things, and maybe trying to learn how to cook more because things are getting really expensive. You know, I have a pay at the pump kind of situation going on near me, and I popped over there and gave him $20 and got not really much more than 4 gallons of gasoline. Things are getting expensive. And I get home and there's a bill in the mail for the house insurance, and the internet and phone is coming up, and the electric bill is coming up. And all these things hit you all at one time, almost in waves. And so if you discover that your income and your outgo are not matching up, I've got some really important news to share with you about the folks at Catholic Charities and how they can help. If you find yourself saying, "Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen," some things you should not do. Do not go to a payday loan place. Do not go to a high interest loan. Do not, by any means, go to these people who claim that for a fee, they will be able to straighten you out with the IRS and take care of all your bills and magically make your debts go away. It doesn't work that way. You will be victimized by these people and end up spending more money. So what should you do? Contact Catholic Charities, ccclse.org. They have absolutely free financial counseling. They can help you get your financial matters in order, help you figure out a budget, talk to your creditors, and maybe make things much, much easier so that you can sleep at night. There is no shame in the fact that some people are stretched beyond thin financially. So please, before you do anything else, call or email Catholic Charities, ccclse.org. They will be able to help. They will listen. And believe me, it is worth every minute of your time. That's Catholic Charities in the Diocese of La Crosse. Okay, let's get on with the show and see if we can pinch some pennies. Well, as promised, once again, after quite an absence, Kathy Cooper is here to join us on Connecting the Diocese. Kathy, not everybody knows who you are, even though around the Cooley region you have a rather good reputation and you're heard on various airwaves, as well as Connecting the Diocese. Kathy, can you tell us what it is you do with the diocese?
Oh, absolutely. I get the privilege of working directly with the bishop, and I'm the coordinator of dietary and hospitality services. What that means is I take care of all the events, and also with our diocesan center, where we have senior priests and resident priests, and we also have a journey and regency program. I work on all of their dietary needs with international priests that we're fortunate to have, with different, you know, food allergies and difficulties that way. So it's quite a broad spectrum of things I do.
Not to mention the fact that you prepare meals for the bishop.
Absolutely. That's my number one job.
Now, normally, you are not going to be in town on, I think it's the 27th for the ordination. You have other things going on. Normally, there is something that goes on, like, was it the night before, where the bishop has dinner with the seminarians? And normally you put those together, don't you?
I do, Jack. And I'm so sad. We have a great trip planned with our entire family. However, I will be missing, we have Priest Unity Days that leads into our ordination. So normally I would be a large part of that. And I still am prior to leaving. And also the evening before the ordination, Bishop has a very special dinner with the gentleman getting ordained. And it's one of my greatest joys that I've been privileged to be part of for about 20 years.
We talked about the special nature of the ordination last week. This dinner, you're kind of like the fly on the wall in this thing as you're taking care of stuff. What all goes on, if we can not be indiscreet?
It's just a precious evening with their bishop. And they talk about their assignments. They do evening prayers together. And they just celebrate. They celebrate and they give thanks. And you're right about that. I'm the fly on the wall. And just the gratitude and the joy and the excitement. And I can't say fear, because I just see the divineness of all of it coming into this. So, like I said, it is very difficult for me to miss it this year. Not only that, all of our priests come to town, and who are many of them very close friends of mine. So I miss that part of it too.
Yes, you mentioned Priest Unity Days. For those of you who are not familiar with that, this is this chance, basically, among other things, there is some business that's taken care of, you know, and all that. But also it's a chance for them to hang out with their buddies, people they may not
have. Fellowship.
Yeah. You would be surprised how little priests get a chance to hang out with other priests, because when they go to the ordinations or Easter, you know, things, Christmas pageants, whatever, it's always rush in, get vested, be there and leave. They don't get to really go up to Fred and say, "Hey, Fred, how you doing?" And this is a chance for them to actually do that, which is kind of nice.
Oh, exactly. The fellowship of it is the most important part, because again, just imagine, most of them, a lot of them have schools. They have all the dealings with just society, what's happening in society. Most of them know each other's families, because through different seminary and then the generations of it, the beauty of some of our senior priests with our deacons that are coming into the priesthood and coming into their vocation. It's just a beautiful time all around. And you're correct, there is some business that has to take place, but it's more just the fellowship and celebrating Mass together.
We were talking last week about the ordination is focused on the moment with the seminarians becoming priests, and that's why there's no distractions around it. You know, there's no bake sales, there's no other things going on, there's nothing tacked onto it. And it reminded me of a number of years ago when I was still running the Catholic station in La Crosse. There was a Priest Unity Days, and some of the people in the organization of the radio thought it would be a good idea for Jack to go over there with it, you know, with a recorder and interview people. And I had just enough experience already to know that the last thing they want to do is to be in the spotlight, to doing statements about this, that, or the other on the one day out of the year when they can hang out and go play golf.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I politely told the network, no, this is not, we will not be welcome. No, we do not want a booth up talking about our network. Don't show up. You know, take some time out. Let these guys enjoy themselves out of the spotlight.
Oh, exactly. And just think how precious their vocation is. They just don't have a buddy they can meet for a beer after work and say, "Ah, what a day." You know? So it's a beautiful brotherhood.
Well, and even if they did have a buddy they could meet with a beer with, chances are that if they go out to some bar someplace and are sitting there drinking a beer, people will talk.
Isn't that unfortunate? Because yeah, they yeah. are, they're human too.
Exactly. I remember Bishop Lestecki used to like to get a particular kind of, I don't know if it was buffalo wings or something, at a particular restaurant in La Crosse, but it was one of these restaurants that had kind of racy waitresses and stuff.
Yes,
like
that. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, he just couldn't do it. No. Because people, it's amazing the spotlight that priests are in. You know, if they walk down the street with a woman, people go, "Oh, I wonder what's going on there." It's crazy.
Right.
It is just crazy. But so Priest Unity Days is their time to just hang out and have fun. And God bless them. they can do it. So you're going to be away on vacation, but there's going to be wonderful things going on. And the rest of this hour, though, I want to talk about not so much events. We normally have you on, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, various things, pre-prep planning for big events. We have such a weird situation going on right now in our economy, not to mention everything else, that I thought we would spend a little bit of time talking about how to save some money and get by. The stuff that people are up against right now, they're kind of hollowed out. Everyone is in shock. I mean, between the 2 years of the virus and the million people who have died, and a war going on between Russia, you know, and Ukraine, and then also the shootings that are going on, and of course always the political static about everything. People are just sitting back, and then they get hit with the fact that, you know, I went to the store, and normally I was getting used to finding avocados at $2 for $1. And I saw them as high as $2.85 a piece. And also, I did not know that Ukraine produces a tremendous amount of grains and safflower oil or some kind of oil. I mean, it wasn't coming to us. It was coming to most of the rest of the world. But when the rest of the world can't get it, it can cause famines, but also it can cause the resending of a product instead of coming to us to someplace else. Exactly. Prices are going up. Gasoline is getting close to $5 a gallon.
It is. It was $4.54 this morning. Yeah, I know. Right.
And that's got nothing to do with domestic politics. It's got to do with, you know, the oil things from Russia. I mean, it's really a very, very, very strange time. And frankly, there's not much we can do about it at this point. You can help avoid COVID by taking all the precautions I always harp about on the show. And you can save money by changing your eating habits, you know, and also you can save gas by planning your trips ahead of time and things like that. For me now, it's like, do I really want to go into La Crosse to buy something that's maybe I can't find at my local store, or that I can get more of them cheaper or whatever when it costs me $10 to make the round trip?
Time to be creative. Definitely a time to be creative. I know I've had people say, well, just throw some macaroni on the table. You can't even find elbow macaroni at some places. So we substitute a lot. And they always tease me because I am a bit of a hoarder. So when they have pork chops on sale, I'll buy 10, 20, 50 pounds of pork chops, cryovac them, freeze them. And thank goodness, because right now we're surviving on those items.
Well, you know, in full disclosure, as they say, I am not a finger-pointing, finger-waving vegan. I'm not one of those people. But we, over the past several years, have diminished our meat consumption to the point where it practically is nil. I don't harp about it. I'm not trying to convert people. I had Easter with the relatives. We had ham. It was delicious. But we have cut back. We gave up red meat for Lent about 4 years ago, and we just never went back. And during the lockdown, you know, we were eating turkey. We were eating canned salmon. We were eating chicken breast. And after a while, you know, we were getting tired of it. And my wife's not a big fan of shrimp. We're not real big fans of pork, although we do certainly enjoy it. And we just said, let's try not eating any meat at all. And it has been an adventure, the likes of which I find almost impossible to believe. And it can save you a bunch of money if you can substitute portobello mushrooms, which are not still yet too expensive, for cuts of meat. You can saute them. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah. We use a lot of mushrooms, and not just portobello. Anytime you have, you know, that meatiness of a mushroom really adds a lot, or augments whatever else you're making. I know someone, and I found this so interesting and such a great idea, and they had No Spend February, where they made such a conscious effort that, with the exception of maybe toilet paper or some laundry detergent, they used what they had in their home. And they were pulling things out of the back of their cupboard. But it became a game. And so other than a couple of fresh produce items, they, you know, even like soft soap, they were, you know, mixing little bits of their soap at the end and really made a game of it. And I thought that was so interesting and so wise. And it may be what we're all doing out of necessity because we're very wasteful. I hate to say it.
There's something like 30% food waste. It's a ridiculously amount.
Astronomical.
Yeah. Now, and also, again, you know, it depends where you look. I've noticed that places like CNN are starting to get a little more, their headlines are a little more deliberately scary.
Yes.
They've just done that recent in the past few months. I look at many, many different sources. I subscribe online to three different newspapers and all this. But every once in a while, they want to get clicks. And so they scare you to look at this. And one thing that somebody was saying that this food distribution problem that's going on right now because of the war and because of climate change and because of all kinds of stuff, it could get quite a bit more tight. Mm-hmm. And we may have to hit a situation where we as Americans are asked to be a little bit less frivolous in our consumption so that people in other parts of the world can get something to eat. We don't know yet.
Right.
Remains to be seen. So to practice right now, to save money, probably will come in handy if all of a sudden people are saying, please cut back on your consumption of wheat or consumption of milk or consumption of whatever the heck it is, because over in, you know, name the country, they don't have any whatsoever. But do you use a lot of buckwheat?
I don't, but I am really using a lot more other ancient grains like farro and quinoa and the protein compounds of a lot of those. Barley's another one. I use quite a bit of barley. It's just kind of fun and interesting, but buckwheat itself, I really don't, Jack. Yeah. Not too much.
Buckwheat groats. Again, you have to understand that on top of the cutting back on meat, which was a voluntary thing we just try, my wife has a confirmed Mayo Clinic allergy to wheat. Oh boy. And essentially what this means is that over a period of time, the past 2 years, I do all the cooking to speak of at home. Now, she bakes her own bread that's gluten-free with using other things, but I do a lot of cooking. But essentially, we simply do not buy anything that is ready to eat. Mm-hmm. Nothing heat and eat, nothing from a convenience store. We don't go to restaurants, not because we wouldn't like to, but because we can't guarantee what's in them.
Right. This is true.
And so also they can say it's gluten-free. There's a bakery in Caledonia I went to talk to. They have bread that is made without wheat. But they have to admit that they're making this stuff in a bakery where there's a possibility of cross-contamination. Mm-hmm. Now, for a lot of people, it's not going to matter if they just have a slight allergy. If you have celiac disease, which, yes, thank goodness my wife does not have, it can be really serious. So you got to be really careful when the waiter says, somebody was making gluten-free pasta at a restaurant, and then they were making it out of chickpea noodles, which actually is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then they also were using the same water to cook the regular spaghetti.
Oh, goodness.
Right. and you can't really expect your wait person to be a clinical nutrition and to know everything that's going. And also, a lot of times, the people were getting stuff from another source. We can't verify where they got it from. It's a real mess. So you have to just avoid it all. But getting back to buckwheat, I just ordered 10 pounds of buckwheat groats.
Oh, my.
They are fantastic for breakfast cereal. We just have them practically every morning. We put bananas on them or frozen blueberries or strawberries and a little salt. I really enjoy it more than oatmeal these days. Now, I think what happens is your mind and your taste buds get adjusted over a period of time.
This is true. They do. Especially like people who give up sweeteners.
Yes.
That is one thing. And then you add just a touch of maple syrup or honey, and it's like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so sweet.
Hey, I have to ask you, I know we're jumping around all different topics, but do you like cilantro?
I love cilantro. Uh-huh. And there's two people in this world, those who do and those who do not. And the ones that do not like cilantro swear it tastes like soap.
Yes.
Everyone I know. Are you, what side of the fence are you on, Jack?
We just had someone give us some cilantro. And my wife, who loves to research things, looked it up because she had heard this thing that you just said. There is actually a gene in some people that they cannot taste the good part, the lemony part of cilantro. And to them, it tastes like, you know, Irish Spring.
Isn't that amazing?
Madly, yes, but I like it too. No, yeah. I don't. No, I don't. And by golly, both of us, we took a bite of the cilantro and went, nope, sorry.
Really? Yeah, no. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's so strange how these things work that we are genetically programmed not to like cilantro.
Yes.
I give
it
up.
It is. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So it's not, if someone says they don't like it, they really mean it. They don't like it.
Exactly.
That's good. So if you were telling somebody, let's talk about one more thing before we get into specifics. At a time when we're all trying to cut back on how much we spend, number one, there seems like there's a lot of people coming up the old generational path who, number one, don't know how to cook. Mm. And number two, they're buying meal kits.
Oh, meal kits, yes. Yes. And, you know, think of the waste as far as packaging and, you know, everything else.
The cost, the waste, the shipping, the whole concept of it. And granted, the good news is that they will probably learn how to cook these things and then someday realize they don't need to buy a meal kit.
Right. And there are nutrients. I mean, you'll see a salmon breast and some quinoa. And, I mean, so that really, I mean, it's like anything. There's a time and a purpose and a customer base that it's probably really good for.
Yeah. It's just, I see these ads that shop, they're on YouTube before the thing you're really looking to see comes on, you know, and they always have these relatively young people. One's got a guy, one's got a gal, and they're both going, oh, this is so neat. Look, I can pour noodles into water. And I go, yeah, you can. And then also there are now high-end meal kits. I have a couple of relatives who are, well, let's just put it this way. They're both into high-end computer government projects that you wouldn't believe. And they're making, quite frankly, a fair amount of money doing it. And they have subscribed to basically the same idea, only it's kind of like the artisan gourmet meal kit.
Yes.
And they're really enjoying it because, quite frankly, they're every time they get it, there's herbs they've never tried, different stuff. And eventually they'll wean themselves off the meal kit and just make it themselves. So it does have a purpose. But if you were talking to somebody who really has never cooked, I mean, their idea of getting dinner is going and buying a frozen pizza or you know, Hot Pockets or you name it, or takeout, how would you suggest they start? What should they be getting in their kitchen or both food-wise and also things to cook with?
Let's take it a little different level.
Okay.
How about if you learn to make one packaged item that you buy and use all the time, but you make it yourself? For instance, say salad dressing. We buy packaged salad dressing. Now, I know your wife wouldn't because of the thickeners in it. So anybody who has a wheat allergy, you have to be super cautious to see what different enzymes and what is put in those items. But learning something really simple, like a good vinaigrette. Everybody has to have some oil in the house and some vinegar, some acid, maybe a little mustard, a little salt and pepper, and start with something like that. Pretty soon it'll be like, I make my own. And then there's other little things. For instance, if you put a big salad together, and the cost of produce is also reflective of the cost of shipping and everything else that's happening. And now we're coming into our farmer's market season. So the next thing is, okay, so your salad, you usually buy romaine or iceberg, and people always buy those pre-made bags of lettuce. Why are you doing that? Did you realize when they cut that lettuce or the greens, they have to spray them or treat them with something so they maintain a shelf life? You can get 4 stalks of romaine for often less than 1 little bag of the chopped romaine. So start with that. If they don't have romaine, substitute some cabbage in there. The health benefits are so great. Your broccoli, for instance. So you cut your broccoli florets, steam them in your microwave. Take the stems, peel the stems, eat the stems. They're delicious. You can steam them, you can saute them, you can shred them up for salad fillers. There's just so many little things like that. So as far as meal kits go, I'm a huge advocate for something you mentioned earlier, like tuna, chicken, canned salmon. Canned salmon is such a wonderful item. I tend to get the can that doesn't have any of the bone or cartilage or anything in it because I'm not fond of that. So little things like that. And we've talked about it in great length before. Learn how to cook beans, a bag of beans. Learn how, it's so easy. Soak them overnight, put them in boiling water. Learn simple little things like that.
We do beans, we do soak them overnight. We get, I liked pinto beans that much as black beans or other beans. I've really come to appreciate pinto beans, and they happen to also be some of the least expensive beans you can possibly buy. But I think the brand is Brown's Best, and they're nice and clean. And again, you wash them off real well, cover them with water in a container, soak them overnight. It will swell up and absorb a lot of water already. Now, we put ours in a pressure cooker. I don't know if people have an Instant Pot or what you've got, but this cuts the cooking time down. And also, I'm not a pot watcher. I don't like have to watch a pot to make sure it's not boiling over.
Right.
So I put them in there and I put the top on and I set it for an hour and a half or whatever. And bingo, it's later on, it's done. But then we break them up and we put them into Ziploc bags and freeze them once they're cooked, because you can reheat them. You can also eat them cold in salad. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff you can do with them. You can mush them up and make your own burritos.
I'll teach you a trick.
Yes, please.
With your pots boiling over, before you bring the water up to a boil, take a little oil on your finger and wipe around the top rim of your pot. And that should help from the boiling over of pasta water or whatever you're making.
Okay, now tell me if you know the physics behind that. I'm going to go do that tonight.
But I do not know. I just know it works.
Okay. Well, I got a little round thing. It looks about the size of a small jam jar lid, only made of glass, called a pot watcher. And you put this in the bottom of the pot, and that helps keeping it from boiling over as well. But I have to try that. We've really gotten into, we have gluten-free pasta. There's a company, it used to be from Italy, called Barilla.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge factory in Iowa. We drove past it a few weeks ago. They're making all this pasta over here now, because I guess it's probably cheaper to make it here. The wheat is right here. And they also are making lentil pasta and chickpea pasta, which are extremely good for people who can't eat the other kind of stuff. It has really broadened us out. You know, when you're doing the gluten-free thing, you have rice and you have potatoes. And then you have rice.
And tortilla chips.
Yeah, tortilla chips. Yeah, right, yeah. But, getting to be able to add some noodles to the mix, in your routine.
Right.
Is really, after you haven't had them for a long time, is really nice. And I must admit, the chickpea ones are just fantastic to cook. And then cold salad, we can use them for. Now, when it comes to potatoes, I don't know what your favorites are. I like yellow potatoes.
It depends on what I'm making.
Well, see, you're more diverse than I am. I just like...
Oh. It depends on what's on sale.
That's true, too. But for some reason, a yellow potato cooked, and I microwave them, tastes to me better than a russet potato. Not as dry tasting or something. I don't have to put butter on them and stuff like that.
Oh, well, then what's the point? Oh, good for you.
Well, how nice, Jack. I'm not doing the finger waving vegan thing here now. We had lunch today. We microwaved some yellow potatoes. You're going to love this. They were nice and hot, but I cut up some just plain old Roma tomatoes and sliced them, and cut up some cucumber and put it on top. And then I topped it with, now don't watch your gag reflex now. There is this stuff called nutritional yeast.
Oh, it's like cheese. Yes.
Yeah. If you haven't had cheese for 10 years, it tastes like cheese.
But you said that if you haven't had it for 10 years.
Yeah. Compared to real cheese, and I, God bless our dairy farmers, nutritional yeast, people say it's just like Parmesan. No, it's not. But
it has that nutty kind of, it is a very good substitute depending on what you're using. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And since we have to back away from dairy stuff and corn stuff and all kinds of things, we buy a brand called Anthony's, and it adds a certain something to it. I don't know what to tell you, but it really does. Yeah, it really does. We also, we're getting to sound like we're crazy people at our house. We buy some salt. I think it's from Oregon, or it's from a real honest-to-goodness salt mine in America. And it comes in a 5-pound tub. Because if you look at a can of regular, canister of regular old salt, like Morton's or whatever, there's all kinds of stuff in there besides salt. There's anti-caking things, there's anti-spreading things.
Right.
And we discovered that this stuff that you can buy in a 5-pound, and 5 pounds of salt lasts you a while, tastes really good.
Right.
It's got slight amounts of mineral deposit in it as well. It's just, we find all this quirky stuff.
When you say 5 pounds of salt, I think of a salt lick, like for the beer.
Yeah,
remember
that? But yeah, no, this is not a salt lick. This is a tub of ground salt. But it's kind of interesting. And when you come out to the cost ratio of it, obviously it's more expensive than a 98-cent canister of salt. But you use less of it. It tastes better, and it doesn't have other ingredients in it. We're kind of gotten back to cooking from scratch a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Just cooking from scratch. What kind of rice do you like?
Oh, I like brown rice.
Yeah.
I just like brown rice. We do not eat a lot of rice. We eat a lot of vegetables. I take I get the banged up produce, whatever I can get a deal on. Like even our co-op will have bags of produce, kind of the scratch and dent sale for 99 cents a bag. It's up to $1.19 now. But I've picked up a bag where I've had one mango, three peppers, an avocado, and it's just fun to grab these random bags. Oh, maybe a grapefruit. It best deal out there. But what I do, like mushrooms, asparagus, beets, little fingerling potatoes, whatever we can find, I love to marinate. We throw them on the grill. Eggplant, zucchini. And then I prefer, my husband likes it hot off the grill. I prefer them at room temperature with a drizzle of olive oil. And then if I make my own hummus, and just a little hummus. And that is such a complete meal.
That is the other thing that we have purchased dry is chickpeas.
Oh, yes.
Again, you soak them, you cook them, you can eat them cold, you can eat them hot, you can do other stuff with them. How do you make hummus from that?
Oh, my goodness. All you do, well, some people do this whole thing, then they put baking soda in so the outer little skins start to come off, and then they kind of raise to the top of your boiling water, and then you rinse them off again. I'm simple. I throw mine in the food processor. You always need a little acid, like lemon, and olive oil, and I always do garlic. Sometimes I'll spice it up with a little like chipotle or, you know, give it smoky heat, but just simple, simple, simple.
Mm-hmm. Do you use garlic powder?
I do.
Yeah.
I use actually a lot of garlic powder.
Right.
Something like that I use fresh. When I use garlic powder is if I'm grilling meat.
Mm-hmm.
Because garlic, if you're sauteing something high or you're grilling something high, garlic burns like crazy quickly, and it gives you a bitter bite to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm doing things like that I know I'm going to throw on a high heat, that I'm not going to watch closely, to throw the garlic in for 30 seconds and throw your cherry tomatoes in, I do use garlic powder for things like that.
Yeah.
But I love fresh garlic. Like my favorite, you know, a piece of good old crusty old bread, just throw it on the grill for a couple seconds, salt it a little bit. When you pull it off the grill, just take a toe of garlic and rub that fresh garlic over that bread. Throw a slice of tomato on it, whatever else you have. Just my way to go. We use every scrap at our house, like salami. You know how you cut salami and you have the little ends? I dice that up really small, fry it in the frying pan, and delicious salad topper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fortunately, we're lucky because nothing we have is pre-made. We don't throw out a lot. There's very little that gets thrown into the trash. I mean, coffee grounds, that's true. And also, you could use stuff the next day, you know, if you make too much. We make a big thing of buckwheat, and then normally we have it for 2 days, two breakfasts, but sometimes there's some left over. You can use it for something else. You can try things you've never tried before. The garlic thing is interesting because, for those of you who are not familiar with these things, garlic powder is not the same as garlic salt.
Oh, not even close,
no.
Yes.
And I discovered, we live in a rural area. We have a surprisingly good IGA store in our town, and that is amazing that they have it. But frequently, you only see little tiny jars of spices, and that's a very expensive way to buy them. I discovered that I could go online to like Amazon, and I can buy a huge canister of McCormick's garlic powder for not much more than the little jar in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And also, McCormick's, generally speaking, happens to also be gluten-free, by the way, which is another thing we have to keep checking out around here. But, I mean, I go through quite a bit of garlic. Garlic, salt, I like curry powder to put into things.
Oh, I love curry. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. Eggs, if you want some delicious eggs, add a little curry and a little tarragon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, saute your mushrooms and asparagus and tomatoes and spinach, whatever you have. Do your quick scramble in and a little tarragon, a little curry. Oh, my favorite.
Yeah. These are things that are, you know, once you get the investment in the jar of whatever herb it is, you know, whatever it happens to be, garlic or whatever, it'll last you for a while. And it can make the difference between something that tastes kind of good, not so good. One thing that we took your advice on was you talked about adding a little bit of vinegar to things to add that little bit of acidic edge. And
yes.
Boy, that I occasionally will make something that comes out and I'll say, "How was it, dear?" And she'll say, "It was okay." Well, sometimes if you add a little bit of vinegar to it, it adds that little edge to it that really kicks it into orbit, which is quite nice.
Right. It's just a brightness, and often you can't even tell. And if it's not vinegar, you know, a little squeeze of citrus. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a lemon, how about a lime? How about a grapefruit? How about, you know, that it really is. It's up your taste buds a tad.
Again, you know, if a person who has not been cooking on their own, this could be a very scary time, because to get your basic stuff going, for example, now, cooking oil has gotten expensive. Mm-hmm. A quadrupled in price. But you have to realize that just because you get a half, you know, gallon of olive oil, you're not going to use it up in a week in most cases. But once you have your basics, if you get several pounds of beans, for example, they're not going to be gone in a week. They go a long way. Same thing with the brown rice. And, you know, if you want to spend the extra money and get brown basmati rice, that's probably going to be going up in price too. But it has a little bit extra taste to it that some people like a lot. And again, you can feel like you're luxuriating a little bit more. I was surprised at how asparagus is coming in from Peru right now, and it's really cheap.
The asparagus has been wonderful that I've been, and strawberries too. It's so strange. We can get wonderful things like all year long, but right now they're all coming into season locally, and yeah, that's just so wonderful.
In our part of the world, apples.
Oh, yes.
If you aren't eating apples, you're in the wrong part of the world if you're living anywhere near La Crosse. But it's a good time. What else were you gonna mention just then?
When you were talking about how you buy the bulk garlic powder and things like that, I buy mine in bulk. Mm-hmm. So I have this amazing spice rack that I'll send you a picture of. And it holds roughly, I don't know, 58 bottles of spice. It's actually a piece of art on my wall. And what I do is, our co-op again, I buy it in bulk and we just refill our own jars. Sure. All the time. And it's pennies on the dollar, pennies on the dollar. Not only that, that's going to give you the opportunity to try a little something different that you don't want to invest in until you know if you like it. And tea leaves are another way. You can buy tea leaves the same way, which is wonderful. Like iced tea right now, we're coming into the season. Juices, don't buy the jugs of juice. It's just water they add, unless you're buying fresh squeezed, of course, that's different. But when you go buy a jug or a carton of juice, for instance, most of it's from concentrate, and it'll say it right on the container. So just buy the little frozen concentrate and add your own water.
Yeah, exactly. Also, don't buy bottled tea. I mean,
like I said, tea leaves. You can, you know, you seep your own tea and then add your sweeteners, add whatever you want.
Yeah, we have a big canister of some kind, and we have loose tea, but also an old tradition from when I was a kid. We still have Lipton tea bags because to me, that was comfort food. But mm-hmm. You put 5 Lipton tea bags in this big container of water, put it in your refrigerator, or leave it out. I mean, they call it sun tea.
Yeah. Yep.
And you will have nice, brisk, clear tea, unsweetened, and it will cost you pennies compared to what was going on. It's also the same thing with coffee. You don't have to buy an expensive coffee maker. You can buy a simple little plastic cone and make delicious coffee at home. What were you talking about? $7 lattes now?
Oh, is that crazy? And then you sit in the drive-thru line for, you know, 10 minutes to get your $7 coffee.
Yeah, burning up your $5 a gallon gas.
It kind of makes me smile. And I appreciate, we all work hard. You deserve a treat.
Yeah.
So I don't want anyone to think else other than that. But sometimes it becomes a habit. These things that once were a treat are now convenient, and it just becomes part of our ritual.
Yeah, yeah. And my wife, of course, who loves to research things, the amount of sugar in one of those lattes is about like 8 times more than in a regular soda.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
and you
tremendous.
Look at, yeah, exactly, the caloric breakdown of it and how many fat and calories, too, mm-hmm. and something like that.
Mm-hmm. I strongly suggest, I don't recommend brands too much, but if you are not the kind of person who likes to buy a coffee maker, and we have hard water, so coffee makers tend to clog up despite our best efforts. There's a thing out there, it's been out for several years, called an AeroPress. It looks like a gigantic hypodermic needle, only with no needle. And it's got kind of a grid on the bottom end of it. And you basically, you put the coffee in the in this thing, and you put in the hot water, and then you stick in the plunger, and you push down on it, and it squirts the stuff out, kind of like squirting a hypodermic needle into a container. And it works just beautifully, and there are even little round paper inserts if you want to keep your coffee without any grounds whatsoever. And you can go on to places like Amazon or eBay, for that matter, and the clever Chinese have come up with a little disc that goes in the bottom of the AeroPress with a little silicon valve that keeps it from ejecting the water until a certain amount of pressure has built up. And it actually makes something that is pretty close to espresso. And these things are about $25. And we use one constantly to make coffee in the morning. Just a thought. As opposed to spend $25 as opposed to $4, $7 cups of latte.
Right.
Just a thought.
Well, and the other thing you were mentioning are like the little Keurig cups in that.
Yeah.
Really, they have the ones that you can fill your own, so you don't have to buy the box of all the little individual cups, mm-hmm. which adds up quite a bit too.
Well, you see, I'm kind of a coffee alchemist. You know, I'm one of these guys who always loves it. I was going through stuff in the garage in a storage container, and I found my stainless steel vacuum coffee maker. And I had just purchased a can of some coffee from Louisiana, I think. It's from a famous coffee place that's in New Orleans. It's been around since the 1800s. And it's ground kind of coarse, so it doesn't really work real well in a drip maker. And I got out the vac pot, which is this thing where you, two metal containers, you put the water in the bottom, this dome-like thing in the top, you put your coffee in the top, the water boils up through into the top, co-mingles with it, and then the vacuum forms and sucks it back down again. And it was like drinking coffee in the 1940s.
Oh, kind of like a percolator in a way.
In a way, like. Yeah. I had my Polish aunts had a diner when I was a kid, and this is how they made coffee. So this thing just brought back memories of doing this.
Oh.
Anyway, but so if you want to make really interesting coffee, there's lots of ways of doing it besides going out and buying an expensive drip coffee maker. You can buy a simple cone filter for $6 that will just do the job as well. And it becomes kind of a fun thing because you can buy a lot of different coffee. There's an amazing number of micro roasters in our area now who are...
Yes. It's like micro breweries and micro roasters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. And you can...
And just the smell, even people who don't like the taste of coffee, the smell of coffee, it warms everyone's heart, I think.
But there's no accounting for taste and also for what brings you warm fuzzies. This one relative of mine has got this very expensive espresso making machine, and also he's got some kind of a pod maker for making coffee. But he says, honestly, there are days when I just want a cup of Folgers instant. He says, because it reminds me of home.
Isn't that
great? Yeah, it's really good stuff. So we're talking basically right now about things you can do to set up a strategy. We talked about getting some basics and trying to duplicate things that you have normally been buying, which is a great idea. And what else, what utensils or what equipment that won't cost a lot of money would you suggest?
Well, I think we've touched on this before because you're a gadget man.
Yeah.
I am not. Give me a good knife. A spider is good. Do you know what a spider is? Kind of the mesh, not necessarily mesh, mesh out of metal woven on like a bamboo stick, kind of a scoop form, so you can like scoop your pasta out of the pasta
water.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
Still reserve, mm-hmm. The pasta water. I don't like garlic presses in that. I don't use. If I want to crush some garlic, I take my good knife and I put a little salt on the cutting board and dice it a little bit and rub it together, and I have minced garlic. I just, and again, because I'm a big camper, backpacker, tent camper, we make do with what we have, mm-hmm. and I don't have room. If I use all my room for tchotchkes or utensil-y type of things, it's less room for maybe spirits and spices.
Yeah.
So I just a really good. I'm very simple when it comes to the kitchen.
I took your advice several years ago and bought one good kitchen knife. I think it's called a Zweifel is the brand name.
Yes, that's a very.
And I have been using it now for 3-4 years. And I don't use slicer, dicer, choppers. Everything I can do everything with that silly knife. It's correct. Now, you mentioned spirits.
Yes.
I finally broke down after seeing this on the internet and hearing about it from some relatives. The other night, I made my own Kahlua.
Oh, yes. I grew up making Kahlua. We would make it at Thanksgiving to have for Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about half a cup of instant coffee, 2 cups of sugar. Mm-hmm. And then I think the fun part was like 1 cup of water and 1 or 2 cups of vodka. Also, a teaspoon of natural vanilla. And it basically, you just don't put the vodka in, but you mix the water and the sugar and the instant coffee, and you bring it into a syrupy consistency, let it cool, add the vodka, stir, and bingo. Guess what?
Delicious. Well, I don't remember if I told you this, but my husband, one of the gifts he gave all 5 of our children is he made homemade vanilla.
Mm.
And it took him a year. It was the most well-received gift. He made little crates to put them in, but his vanilla, he made a bourbon vanilla, a rum vanilla. He also even made, just for fun, a tequila vanilla, which is actually very, very good, surprisingly. And so it's fun, the things you make and the treats. One of the ladies I work with, her boyfriend made homemade Irish cream. And I was the recipient of this homemade Irish cream over Christmas time. It was fabulous. It was fabulous.
I have a question for you because, again, I'm going to show my ignorance on this. I was over at a store in the greater La Crosse area where they have that clearance area like you're talking about where they put stuff that no one's buying or is short dated. And they had these little tiny bottles. I mean, these are small, that said that they were salsa mix. And they were like 4 for $1. So I bought 4 of them. And I assumed that it was make your own salsa, that you would chop up tomatoes or whatever.
Right.
And you'd add this to it, just because it had chili pepper and it had this. And then I'm trying to read the fine print on it when I get home. It says, just add beer.
I have never heard of those. That's interesting.
Apparently, this is something you're supposed to put into beer. Give you salsa-flavored beer.
Or maybe it would make a good Bloody Mary.
I don't know. But, no. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so I've got these sitting on my shelf now going, so much for that idea.
Yeah. Now what am I going to do with
them? Yeah, it was great.
That's where you get creative. You spent a quarter on each of those.
Right.
You need to figure out a way to use them.
Read the fine print. Some of these places also, and there are certain stores, I don't think we have any in La Crosse too much, but especially in some of the rural areas, that get what would be amounted to a scratch and dent canned food.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is past date. And one thing we should remember is that sometimes best if used by doesn't mean it's ruined by that date.
It's a suggestion.
And also, you don't have to be as careful as you used to be, but if a can has got a dent in it, it doesn't mean it's no good. If it's up at the top where the seal is, maybe you want to be more careful. But
Or if the can is dented and there's rust around the top or the bottom, or if either the top or the bottom is somewhat expanded.
If pressure has built up inside,
then
not a good idea.
No,
not a good
exactly.
idea. But I just bought some very nice black bean paste that was in a can with a dent on the bottom. And, it's fine. It's just fine. But, we're trying to come up with ideas. Like I say, we've been talking for most of the hour about it. But I guess the trick is, like you say, to try to think how you would duplicate what it is that you've been buying pre-made. It's a real good idea. And get some basics. Get the yellow potatoes or the russet potatoes. Get the rice. Get the beans. Get some mushrooms, maybe instead of buying an expensive cut of meat, and see what you think of it. Maybe buy a good fry pan. What do you think about fry pan coatings before we have to head out?
See, I'm a naturalist. I don't like any of the coatings. I like good old stainless steel.
Yeah.
And my absolute favorite, we've talked about this, is cast iron. And cast iron is it's good for your muscles. And once you built that patina on it, you don't want to, you just want to make your meal. And when it's done, clean it and then put it on your, I have cast oven, put it on top and wipe just a little bit of oil on it. You won't have to worry about rust. It will last generations in your family. It's even cooking. You can take it from the stovetop. Say you splurge on a steak. I sear them in a hot cast iron pan, and then I finish them in a hot oven.
Yeah.
And you can't. It, there's nothing better.
We broke down and got a new range that my wife does a lot of baking, so it has a big and little oven in it. And then the top is one of those induction tops. And mm-hmm. I got worried about using my cast iron on it for fear I was going to drop it onto the top and crack.
Yes.
I am clumsy. And son of a gun, if a week later, this box arrives, apparently there was a promotion we didn't know about, and they sent a whole set of stainless steel cookware.
Nice.
And so I use stainless steel now predominantly when I'm cooking, as much as I did like the other stuff as well. But just get one, if you can find one stainless steel pan and maybe one stainless steel pot. You can also do things like popcorn in a pot, you know, with a glass lid on it or whatever. Just put a little oil in there and away you go. So you don't have to spend $1,000 on new equipment to cook, but get a fry pan, maybe get an Instant Pot if you like steaming stuff and cooking rice. Look around.
I love a Dutch oven, meaning the cassoulet dish that you can saute your meat on top of the oven, and then you put the cover on and you put it in a 350-degree oven and let your meat braise for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have to make sure it doesn't have the plastic knob on top or rubber handles, anything like that. But a multi-purpose dish is another one of my absolute favorites. A big pasta bowl, a big wooden salad bowl, like for Caesar salad. You always have to rub it with a garlic toe before you throw your lettuce in it. It's fun because my kids, again, I have quite a large family, and we went to visit our newly married son and wife up on the North Shore, and they love to fish, and she's Italian, and so it's like, oh, we're going to make pasta tonight, and the vino started pouring, and you have to understand when Mary makes pasta, we make pasta. And it's the old crank, no, you know, KitchenAids for this. And it was just, it's just such a perfect night. It was just cold and rainy. And they had some steelhead they had caught and froze it. And they're like, what are we going to do with this? So I'm like, let me brine it. So we brined it. And the next day we smoked steelhead. It was just splendid, you know, and it was just stuff they had there. It doesn't get any better to watch your kids kind of take what they did and join the new family influence. And it's my greatest joy.
Sounds
spend
wonderful.
Spend time in the kitchen.
Yeah, it sounds really good. And also the thing is this, if you buy a bunch of basics, beans, potatoes, rice, mushrooms, various vegetables, things like that, you will spend less time grocery shopping or running out to a fast food place or running out to a convenience store to buy pizzas or whatever. Try to plan time to think of this new way of cooking that you're saving money, number one. You're probably eating better, number two. But it also becomes more of an event. Make it a recreational item that you're experimenting with. The same way that we decided to try to cook plant-based, you know, several months ago, opened up a whole different world of things we didn't know about. Amaranth and all kinds of grains or seeds, really, actually. But think of it that way, and not that, oh, I'm doing without going out and getting the tater tots. You know, I mean, it's going to be a mental change. And I think you might find that there's a whole spectrum of cooking that will be enjoyable, healthy, save money, and maybe you and yours can have fun doing it.
Well, and the other thing, the tools we have, meaning you can search anything. You can say, oh, I have a rutabaga, and all of a sudden recipes will pop up. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, follow them verbatim, but it gives you a platform. It gives you a start.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've burned up our time, Kathy Cooper. I sure appreciate talking to you about that. I want to talk to you for a second when we're done. Yeah, I sure appreciate you doing that. And again, as we get closer to 4th of July or something like some other big event going on. Of course, we just had Memorial Day, but maybe Labor Day weekend. We'll have to get you on, and we'll see how things have gotten better, what people have learned, and maybe how we've adapted, and maybe different ways people can write to us and tell us what they've come up with. That'd be kind of cool.
That's a splendid idea.
Yeah,
splendid idea.
All right. Well, hang on. I'm going to switch us off record, and I'll be back with you in just a minute, okay?
Thank you, Jack.
Talking with Kathy Cooper about ways of saving money, one of the great fun things are church thrift stores and church rummage sales, because it works both ways if you're trying to get rid of things or trying to acquire things. If you have a household and you decided you're going to start learning how to cook, and maybe you heard about these stainless steel fry pans or pots or maybe even cast iron, it's a very good chance that a church-based thrift store will have these things donated and have them at a very reasonable price. Unlike perhaps a professional antique store or commercial thrift store, something like that, you can actually find real bargains. I remember going to St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in Marshfield years ago now, and for $3 bought this potato cutter, which I use practically every time I cook potatoes that I have to cut up. $3. It's a wonderful thing. But anyway, do avail yourself to that. There are so many benefits to using items through church thrift sales or thrift stores or rummage sales. Number one, if you want to get rid of good quality things that you just don't need anymore, give it to the church thrift store or the rummage sale. Someone who needs it, someone who needs to save some money, will buy it. And number two, you're totally doing a run around the production cost, the shipping, the carbon footprint, all those things that will happen. You know, even a good quality shirt that no longer fits you or whatever. It's amazing how much energy it took to make that shirt. Get it reused, recycled, and someone can use it who really cannot afford to go out and spend $35 for a shirt. Same thing with any kind of cooking equipment you can think of. If you're looking to save money, make use of the church thrift store near you, or be aware of the church rummage sales that are going on. And if you have things to donate, those are the places to give them to. You also may be helping people who have lost everything in fires or other catastrophes. It's a win-win for all involved. And thanks to the volunteers who operate them. Jack Socha here with you at the end of Connecting the Diocese. Again, you know, if you do have any questions or comments or recipes for that matter, you can drop us a note at connecting@diolc.org. We'd be curious to hear what you have to say. And also, as usual, you can hear these shows again, if you wish, by going to diolc.org/connecting. We will find these shows listed by the newest one at the top of the page, and they're MP3 audio files you can listen to online, or you can download them if you wish. There's no charge, no password. We don't ask for your email address or anything like that, and you can share them with others as well. Thinking about food, I would be remiss if I did not remind myself and everyone else that while we're discussing on how we can save money on food during these troubling times, there are people out there who are, as they say, food insecure, who honestly don't know where their next meal is going to come from. So if you can do it, if you can support your local food bank. Now, it's wonderful if you bring them canned food and things like that, but quite honestly, if you give them cash, they can buy a lot more food than you can buy with the same number of dollars. And it really makes a difference. There are people out there who are having trouble making ends meet, and right now they've got kids who are hungry. In some cases, they're having to spend enormous, disastrous amounts of money for sorely needed baby formula. And that cuts into the rest of their food budget. And this is right here in our neighborhood. So if you can help out your local food bank, give them some money, they'll get some food. The Second Harvest folks do a great job of finding things. It works out better for everyone. So, again, thank you for your cooperation on that. So, I was going online trying to find an appropriate piece of music for a show that was all about cooking and food. I will tell you that on YouTube, there are all kinds of background music instrumentals to listen to while you are cooking or are dining. Very few actual songs about actually eating. So, of course, I had to turn to the one source I knew would have something we could always understand. Weird Al Yankovic, doing his cover version of course, a more popular song called Eat It. And I will leave you with a portion of that as we say goodbye for now. We will catch you next week right here on Connecting the Diocese. And thank you so much for listening. How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate.
You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Just eat it. Your table manners are a crying shame. You're playing with your food the same, some kind of game. Now if you starve to death, you'll just have yourself to blame. So eat it, just eat it.